Hello and welcome, Transformation Talk Radio listeners and podcast listeners everywhere. My name is Ellen Stewart, and I am the pushy broad from the Bronx.
She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York. Follow her voice, a straight dog is nice. She's the pushy broad from the Bronx, oh yeah. Don't be surprised if you wanna listen twice. Make decisions, find the right choice. Know yourself better, find your own voice. It's okay if you need help today, cause everybody needs a little push. From the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York.
This weekly show, Everybody Needs a Little Push, with Ellen Stewart, the pushy broad from the Bronx, will be aired every Wednesdays on Transformation Talk Radio and podcast stations everywhere at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. I am delighted to bring you my weekly podcast program, which I hope will inspire you, coach you,
sometimes make you laugh,
and give you the push moment you need to move forward. And I'm going to do it the pushy Broadway. Straight up. No BS, easy, quick, with answers, suggestions, and directions that will give you a coaching experience that will be part cheerleader and part drill sergeant. Because everybody needs a little push from time to time. And here comes yours.
Everybody, 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 everybody needs a little push.
Everybody needs a little push.
Everybody, 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 everybody needs a little push.
Now that most of the world is sheltering at home and for the most part relying on our virtual technology to connect, this just may be the perfect time to try to accomplish some things that you felt that you didn't have time for before. As we go through life, if we are lucky to be self-aware, then there may come a point in your life, or even several times in your life, that you know that you can't do something alone. You've hit a wall. You don't know how to navigate your next step, and your mental strife is overwhelming. You realize through this awareness that you need to seek help externally. You then decide that you reach out to a therapist or a coach. It is that pivotal moment that many times can change your life, the decision to make the initial phone call and actually set up the appointment. Whatever the reason why, seeking help usually means that you want the pain to end. You want to change the current situation because you simply can no longer live in this current condition. The initial phone call for help may seem hard, but once you make it, even before your first consultation, you will immediately feel a little lighter, and you will feel a great sense of accomplishment. You are on the road to recovery. So during this time, in our isolation because of COVID-19, think of what you can do for yourself mentally. Not only do you want to clean out your clothing closet, but maybe you want to clean out the cobwebs of your mind, so to speak. This is usually how coaching clients come to me. They decide that they want to make positive change and move their life forward. And once the drive to do that overcomes their current situation and the pain of their current situation, then they're ready to reach out and do the work and seek help. This episode is an interview with a young woman who did just that. She reached out for help 7 months ago. Her story is one worthy of telling, and I know that for many of you, vital for you to hear. The episode is called The Evolution of M. Here is that interview. Maybe you will be inspired to take the steps that she has taken. I am very glad today to do an interview with someone that I have worked with for about 7 months now.
And I am going to tell you just a little bit about her. Her name is M, and I think it's okay for me to tell you that she is a young woman, which means younger than me. She's in her early 30s, and we've been working together for about 6.5 months now. And she came to me in a strange way, but not an uncommon way for me. And the reason that M is with me today is because she has a story to tell, and I would like to share that story with you. And we both feel that the story that she is sharing is one in which many of you can relate to, and also many of you may be able to get some help from by listening to this. So, good evening, M.
Good evening, Ellen. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for being here. I wanted to ask you initially, what made you decide to reach out to me for help?
I reached out to you for help in a moment of desperation when I didn't know who else to turn to. When I reached out to you, it was actually via recommendation through a family member of my former partner. I was looking for someone to help me to help him, and also to help him with some substance abuse. And it was something I just felt was a bit over my head, and that my family couldn't help with, and that his family couldn't really help with either. And your number was passed to me by a recommendation through one of my former partner's family members. And it was just such a weight off my shoulders to reach out to someone who allowed me to know that my feelings were valid, that I wasn't crazy for reading too much into certain warning signs, because I didn't understand any kind of substance abuse, but you were really able to put me at ease and to help me to recognize what I had to do to try and help this person. And ultimately, you showed me to how to help myself through this.
Well, that's great. And it's not uncommon that people come to me through the recommendations of others. And I was extremely glad to hear you. Could you tell me when you said before, I was afraid that I was going crazy, what were you finding that was disturbing to you?
For about a year before I got in touch with you, I was finding various liquor bottles around the exterior of my home. Since we started working together, I've lived in two different places, and the first of which I'd find a couple of liquor bottles in the garage here or there or outside the house, and I just thought this is very, very strange. And I would ask my former partner about it, and he would completely be very calm about it and tell me that they're not mine, that they must have been from a former partner, former tenant. And it wasn't until I looked in one of his carry cases for his work and found a half-empty bottle, a large half-empty bottle of liquor, that I really realized, well, this person has been lying to me. And that was so hurtful, because this was a person I had absolute trust in, someone who I've moved country for and married and wanted to have children with. So to know that there was something so fundamentally wrong, that they weren't sharing with me that they had a problem, was heartbreaking. And the problem seemed to get worse with time, where I would find increasingly more bottles. And every time I would ask my former partner about these bottles, they would get so angry, so defensive. And the only way to resume any kind of normality in our life, where I would feel that we had a loving relationship, that things were normal, and that he was talking to me and communicating, was when I just decided not to address the bottles anymore. If I found them, I just push them away, throw them in the bin. If I don't see them, they're not there. It's not worth getting in an argument about. But when we moved house, increasingly his behavior changed, and the amount of bottles I found was absolutely astronomical, and I was finding them in the roof rafters of our new property. I was finding them in discarded garbage bags as well. We had a resident bear who would come and pull the garbage out of the garbage can, and every week I was finding bottles strewn all over the lawn, the exact same bottle, exact same logo, flavor, always the same. So I knew that this was a problem.
So not only were you finding the bottles, but I assume that you were finding that his behavior was something that you couldn't live with. How were the bottles reflective of his behavior?
Well, initially, one of the things that I'd always loved about our relationship was I had absolute trust. So the first thing that rang alarm bells to me was that I'd always been able to talk to him and feel that he would talk to me about anything. I mean, we'd had so many conversations in the past where I thought, wow, we're really communicating and we really understand each other. There is so much trust, such a great bond here. And on the outside world, I think a lot of people would have seen that too. You know, I shared a lot of my relationship online with what I do, and I was very proud of our relationship for a very long time. But I realized that as time went on, as I found more and more bottles, his behavior would begin to change, and that he was a lot more deceitful just day to day. And I also noticed that he would shy away from his duties in the home. He was not caring, I don't believe, for his children as diligently as he had done in the past. He was not keeping up with his side of the bills, to the point that by the end of our relationship, I was shouldering every single one of our bills, every single one of the financial burdens fell to me. And I felt trapped. I felt like, you know, I said in sickness and in health, and for richer, for poorer. And I really meant those vows, Ellen. And so when I saw how negatively my finances were being impacted, it was very difficult, but I looked past it and thought, if I can help him through this, I will have the person that I married back again. And it was very lonely because nobody knew that we were married. We eloped in secret, and I had planned eventually to be at a point where I could afford, you know, a lovely wedding to invite my family over. So even my family did not know that we were married. So I felt like I had to shoulder all of this on myself, get us through this so that we could have the fairy tale ending that I truly believed that we were going to have at one point. But yes, there were certainly changes that went on there, changes in sleeping pattern, changes in the way that he would smell even, and small things which just didn't add up for me. Whereas before, he would always ask, you know, would you like to come to the store with me? It was, oh, no, you just wait here. I'm not going to be long in the store. And if I would ask, well, you know, I'd like to go to the store as well for something, he'd just be like, well, we'll just go tomorrow. It's fine. Let me go by myself. And he became a lot more secretive, a lot more reclusive, a lot more angry, and a lot less tolerant of the things that I enjoy, my music, days out in places that I like. And he would certainly not communicate when it came to finances. If I had to ask, you know, where is your side of the rent? I would just have to brace for World War III, because that's what it would become. And it would become that I'm an unsupportive wife, and that I am placing too much of a burden on him, and that I should be able to support us through this. And I didn't think that that was very fair, but I took it for a very, very long time.
Yes, you did. And then finally it came to a head, I think, last August or September, when you felt that the lack of responsibility on his part and also his temperament and his personal habits around the home and the way he was treating you became more than you could bear.
That's right. Yes, there was certainly a breaking point where I couldn't fight anymore. I was fighting so hard every day just to hold on to a shred of normalcy. And I looked at my own productivity in my own job, which I love. I love what I do. And the fact of the matter was that I hadn't created as a content creator for months. And I was so consumed in this bubble of trying to help the person who I loved more than anything in the whole world. And I sacrificed every little piece of who I was to try and hold on to this. It was very much reminiscent of the quote, sometimes it's better to let go instead of holding on and cutting your hands over broken pieces. And that's really what I felt like I was doing. I was repeatedly cutting myself over trying to put together the pieces of our broken relationship. But what I realized is that I thought the fault was all mine. I allowed myself to believe if I was stronger, if I was smarter and earned more money, if I was somehow more open to him being able to reach me and communicate me, this, we wouldn't be having these problems. It must be me. And what I noticed is that whereas initially he would deny the bottles, eventually he would say, well, yes, I do drink a little bit. It's only to help me sleep at night. Or I do drink a little bit, but, you know, sometimes it's to do with the stress and you're adding to my stress, thereby making me feel that I was the problem. And in retrospect, that's not okay. It's what I've come to learn is that it's a choice. You know, it's one thing for people to struggle with addiction, and my heart really does go out to anyone who is struggling, and also to the families of people who are trying to help people with any kind of addiction. And alcoholism is a form of substance abuse, but it's ultimately a choice how you treat people. And if people want to get help for themselves, that's wonderful. But he was shying away from that, and that was the breaking point for me, is when I realized there's no hope here. You cannot help someone who does not want to change and does not want to help themselves.
Well, that's one of the first things we talked about. And from what you had said, you were attracted to reach out to call me because as a coach, my specialty is recovery coaching.
That's right.
That you were drawn to my services because I've spent the last 15 years working not only with addicts and alcoholics, getting them to treatment, but most importantly, working with families and partners like yourself, having you understand the disease and having you have more strength and more to feel more empowered to take care of yourself.
That's right. I will remember. You've told me I do not cause it, I cannot change it, and I cannot control it. And that was really very liberating for me to learn those three C's, because I thought that I could control it, I could change it, and maybe I was the cause of it. But ultimately, when you're trying to help someone and you're doing everything that it takes, paying all the bills, telling them, I love you, I will stand by you. It doesn't matter if you need a rehab, whatever it is, I will be right here because I love you. Then you're not causing it, you're trying to help. And ultimately, I allowed myself to believe, to his benefit, that the fault was all mine. And I really shut down in myself, because I truly did feel that I had failed, that his substance abuse was through me not trying hard enough.
I understand. And that's a very common thing with people who are looking from the other side, because we feel that we want to do everything we possibly can to make someone feel better. And if they're not getting better, then we must be doing something wrong.
The fault. That's right. Yes.
And we work together. How often did we work together in the beginning?
You had to remind me to call you, because I wasn't used to having someone to reach out and talk to. And I think we were supposed to be talking every single day. You told me we'll talk every single day and that I can reach you at any time. But for the first 2 or 3 weeks, I remember I only reached out a couple of times, and you'd be saying, hey, you know, Em, it'd be great to hear from you today. And I would mistakenly think that I was bothering you, that I should just wait until something goes really wrong before consulting you or asking for your help. But in the end, it got through to me. You managed to get through to me and let me know I should be talking every day. And I should be sharing with you the things that I was trying to share to a couple of my close friends and family and his family, just saying, you know, please help me to help this person. And everyone had all their opinions. But at the end of the day, no one was a professional. And you were able to give me that comfort and that direction that I needed. And most importantly, that direct link to someone who would let me know that I'm not insane, that when I find bottles, it's not all in my head, and that when I'm trying, it doesn't make me a nasty person. And also reminds me to look after myself, because my self-care went completely out the window at that point. So you really helped to remind me that where my feet are, that's where my head needs to be.
That's correct. It is so important to focus on what is directly in front of you and to deal with what is ever happening and not project to what may be happening down the road. We'll be right back. Are you ready to transform and empower your life by changing the way you think, feel, and act? Then it's time to schedule a coaching call appointment with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified empowerment coach and recovery coach. My style of coaching is part cheerleader and part drill sergeant, always in your corner and at the same time giving you the push you need to truly move forward and exactly what you need to take command of your life. If you are ready for the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I am ready for you. Visit my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says one-on-one coaching. Make an appointment today.
This is Ellen Stewart, the pushy broad from the Bronx. I am talking with one of my current clients, M, who is describing to you why she came to see me, because her ex-partner was exhibiting signs of alcoholism that was affecting their lives and their marriage. And I have been working with her for the past 7 months. And we are talking about what a process this is when we come to be aware of the situations that are happening in our lives, when we are dealing with someone that is suffering from an alcoholic addiction or even possibly another kind of addiction.
Part of the process, we understand that when we're looking at someone that is suffering with a disease, not only is it not our fault, but we begin to understand more about the disease and what it does to an individual.
Yes, absolutely.
So we can take responsibility for that. And we also understand that in many ways, the person who is suffering through it is also living an unmanageable life. It's not like they're doing something to you deliberately.
No, and I do feel certainly that there are elements of truth to that in my former relationship, but I did feel also at times that things were done deliberately. And to me, those sorts of things were unforgivable. And I cannot at this point go into too much detail about those, just to protect both my privacy and my former partner's privacy to an extent on those, because it wouldn't be fair for me to mention that at this point. But certainly you did give me the tools to help me to move past those and realize that it's out of my control. The only thing I control is myself, how I react to it, and to make plans for myself, to frame myself up for something better in the future, and to remove myself from a toxic situation that was not going to improve without drastic help from the other person wanting to help themselves. So I'm very grateful to have arrived in a much healthier, much better space these days.
And it took a relatively short time. I think we started working together in September. And at that time, you were in a completely different location, in a completely different situation, economically and career-wise and even geographically, right? All of those things. And now here we are approaching April, and things have changed for you. Can you tell me a little bit how they've changed?
Sure. Well, I don't mind sharing the fact that things towards the end of my former relationship were very tumultuous to the point that I sought a final restraining order. Unfortunately, due to New Jersey laws and actually tri-state laws, the final restraining order was unable to be granted, where the judge believed that the abuse was not as, I suppose, warranting of a final restraining order as other cases that she sees might need. And it took some getting used to that the court did not side in my favor. And because I did not feel safe returning to the home that I had shared with my former partner, I had a wonderful friend of mine open up her arms and her heart and her door and say, listen, it's not safe for you where you are. I am going to come and get you. We're going to take your animals and you're going to come and live all the way over here in Colorado instead. So she literally got on a plane. This is my wonderful friend, Kate, got on a plane, helped me to find a U-Haul, roped in a couple of helpers to help me to pack up the bare essentials and my animals, and within 2 hours, we were gone. And I'm telling you, it was one of the most difficult things I've ever had to do, because regardless of how angry I was and regardless of how much pain and suffering I had been put through towards the end of that relationship, I still loved that person. You don't just stop loving someone. And all I wanted to do at times was just say, you know, turn the car around. I can still work this out. I was still being so stubborn. But I knew that that was very unhealthy thinking, and the cycle would just continue. Nothing would change. So we continued on for 3 days. We drove 3 days straight, stopping over at very questionable motels until we eventually arrived in Colorado. And it was like a breath of fresh air crossing over that line and seeing the huge Welcome to Colorado sign and seeing those beautiful mountains and knowing, you know, I'm safe here. And I I can focus on myself again. I don't have to worry about, is this person hurting themselves? Is this person going to hurt me? Are they going to be a detriment to my career, my animals, to themselves anymore? I don't have to worry about that anymore. I gave everything that I could to that. And the final bit of energy I had was just to get the bare minimum from my old home and just leave and just say, enough. Enough is enough. And I will not ever repeat that pattern ever again.
So basically you took your loved ones, your living beings, your animals, you took very bare necessities. You left a home that you completely furnished because you paid.
That's right.
You left a completely furnished home, packed up and left with just very simple things.
That's right.
And now you feel safer and I would venture to say happier than you have been in the past 6 months, correct?
That's absolutely right. And Ellen, it was amazing. The change, even it, not just physically, like my body changed when I started settling into life in Colorado. Now, I'm not one for huge amounts of exercise, but I was so depressed, so anxious in my old house that I just kind of became puffy in the face, in the body. And it wasn't through eating bad foods. It was almost like my emotions were manifesting themselves somehow on my face, on my body. And within a week or so, that all just disappeared. The dark circles disappeared and I was sleeping again and I was wanting to eat healthily again. And suddenly the sky just opened up with a huge world of yes. Here is a very successful book launch. Here is a TV deal. Here's the ability to fly out to LA and have an incredibly proactive and successful meeting with one of the people who is the top of the career that I want to be a part of. And they want to work with me. And all of this happened within the space of 3 weeks, whereas I was unable to focus on my job for months beforehand because I was so depressed. I was so numb to the whole world. It was self-preservation. I was a zombie. It was like being a shell. And all of a sudden, the second I stepped away, it was almost like life just gave me just a big yes, like a big air fist pump. Like, you did it. You stepped away. This is what you're supposed to be doing. It's like I took the road of least resistance in a way, and life rewarded me for it. If I had stayed, that would have been the road of most resistance, and I would have continued to be drained in terms of my finances, my emotions, and my mental health and my career. But the second I stepped away, amazing things happened, and I did not think I'd ever arrive at a point again where I could be happy without this person. But now when I look back, I don't recognize the person that I married anymore. I can look back to the beginning of that relationship and think, you know, there were times in that relationship that were very special to me, that person was very dear to me, that I will always treasure. But towards the end, that was not the person that I married. And in the end, they made a decision that their comfort and their unwillingness to change for the better for their family was a lot more comfortable than changing to help everyone. So I'm very, very pleased to have stepped away at this point.
That's wonderful. And it wasn't without a lot of heartache and personal strife and kind of a feeling of push-pull, should I, shouldn't I, and all of those things. So in addition to your own personal strength, how else do you attribute your stamina and your determination to move forward?
I feel like at certain times in my life, I've made split-second decisions which have worked very well for me, and it's when I stop listening to what everybody else wants and I just think, what do you want? What do you need? It doesn't matter if this person is super traditional and says you stay in a marriage no matter what. It doesn't matter if someone says, well, if you hold on just another 6 months, maybe it'll be different. What do I want? What do I as M want? And I was sick and tired of feeling like I was always the one that had to take the emotional punches. I became an emotional punching bag for this person, and that is not okay.
Now, how do you think coaching has helped you through this process and continues to help you through?
Because I took it for the longest time and I thought it was normal. It became normal to me. And I thought, well, this person never punched me, so it's okay. It can't be abuse if this person hasn't, you know, threatened my life or hasn't, hurt me to the point that it's left bruises or anything like that. But there's a lot more of abuse out there than people realize. And the amount of gaslighting that went on, making me feel like I was crazy. Really, I did consider it at one point, like, am I the crazy one? But at the end of the day, I was the one that was working. I was the one keeping the roof over our head. I was the one saying, get yourself help. I was the one getting myself help. I was unknowingly taking good care of my mental health whilst worrying so much about somebody else's and blaming myself for that, my inability to help them to help themselves. So in stepping away and having the ability to look back now, it's astonishing to see how much of myself I sacrificed in order to try and save something that couldn't be saved. It was way out of my hands. No amount of me begging, please do this for me, or please do this for the kids or for yourself. No matter what I would have said or done, it would never have been enough. And I realized that no matter how long I stayed, no matter how much I overlooked the saucy DMs to other ladies and other things like that, no matter how much I gave this person the benefit of the doubt, this was never going to change. And there's a part of me that doesn't believe that they will. And I hope that they do. But there is a part of me that realizes, especially since speaking to their ex-wife and having other women send me their experiences with this person that I didn't know about until I left and it became known that we had had quite a messy breakup. I never knew that this person could be like this, but apparently it's a lot more of a common trait than I realized. I have a tendency to put my rose-tinted glasses on when I'm in love and think, I am that special to this person that even if they have cheated in the past, they'd never do it to me. Even if they have, you know, been nasty to other people in the past, they would never do that to me. And I'm special enough that my love is powerful enough that if I love them hard enough, I can take them to the moon and back again and with their career, with their happiness. I'll make sure that they're the happiest thing in the whole world. But nobody's love is that powerful. Mine certainly wasn't. And I feel like I would have gone to the grave trying to sacrifice again and again pieces of me to save this person.
Well, you've really come a very long way, and I'm very glad that I could be a part of this for you and give you the support that you need to do this. And you have learned some really wonderful things, not only about what it's like to want a healthy relationship and see what a healthy relationship is all about, but like you mentioned before, a tremendous amount of self-growth.
Yes. I have certainly since working with you, I've learned how to assert certain boundaries with others. I can identify where other people like to take advantage of me because I like to help people. I'm a fixer. I like to fix things for people. I like to take away people's pain. I love to give them something to hold on to and aspire to. And I don't allow people to overstep those boundaries anymore. Certainly there are times that I do regress backwards a little bit, and then we talk and I understand why I have certain thoughts and why certain things are difficult to let go or to move forward with. But I recognize things now, and I can see from your perspective where I can make adjustments in my life to be much, much healthier. And not to feel ashamed that I want to prioritize my mental health. I felt ashamed initially. It must be egotistical for me to want to talk about myself every day to somebody and say, you know, analyze me, what's wrong with me, how can I change? But it's not. I've made the decision, you know, I don't want to be in a relationship again for quite some time, because I've noticed that is, and this is me being very honest, very personal here, it is a pattern of mine that I like to have a knight in shining armor. I want someone to sweep me off my feet and give me that love and that protection, and in exchange I give them the entire world. But you know, that was my Disney fantasy growing up, and that's not the way the world is, and it's easy to get taken advantage of when you have that mindset. So I'm putting the work in now, staying far, far, far away from that as much as possible so that I can work on myself, so that when I do have the ability to be a much healthier version of myself and able to recognize good and healthy patterns in other people, then I will not be carrying forward any baggage to somebody else in the future. There's another saying that I'm going to be paraphrasing of, so please forgive me if you know the actual quote and I'm completely making a botched job of it, but there's a saying somewhere that if we don't heal ourselves, then we'll be cutting people who never hurt us, we'll be making other people bleed who never hurt us. And I certainly don't want to make anybody else in the future, any kind souls, pay for what has been done to me in the past, or what I've allowed to be done to me to an extent in the past. So it's nice to be putting in the work now. And I did for a while think, oh my God, I must stay with this person because I'm 31, I'm going to be 32. What happens if I can't have kids? What if I don't meet anybody? But I just realized that anything, being alone, is so much better than being trapped in an unhappy marriage. And kids or no kids, relationship or not, I need to find the strength in myself that I was looking for in these men. And in the end, I realized that I had a lot more strength than I realized. I gave a lot to my relationships time and time again. And in the end, when I thought that I was being saved by a big, strong man, it was actually me saving them a lot of the time. So if I can do that, I can do that for myself. And now I have plenty more energy to focus on the projects that I want to. I have a lot more ability to focus on my community, which is my number one priority right now, my wonderful creature crew that follow me over on my YouTube. And I've got a lot more time and energy for my creative projects that can help others. So it really has been a complete win-win situation. And all it took was just ripping that Band-Aid off and stepping away and just saying, no more, this is not going to be my life.
Absolutely. It is so good to hear you strong and self-empowered.
And sometimes, like you said, it takes a while to get to that point. You were in that relationship for a number of years.
That's right.
Yes. And even though the world would seem, well, but it took 6 months and now you're in a completely different situation, you had to work up to that after several years.
That's right. Nobody wants to give up on a relationship that you crossed continents for and, you know, have had to settle in a new country for and left your family behind for. Nobody wants to then go back to their family and say, hey, I know you guys haven't seen me for years and I'm so sorry about that, but this is all blown up in my face the way that you said it would. And now I need help and now I don't know what I'm going to do. And now I'm suddenly going to move to Colorado. Can you please be there for me? Like, you know, that nobody wants to have to go back to their parents and say, I'm so sorry, I know you're going to be so worried about me, but this is what's going on. And that's another reason I didn't want to speak up about things. I didn't want to hurt my family. I didn't want them to worry. I want to shield everyone from worrying about me because I'm a survivor. And I feel like if I can just get through, then eventually I'll tell people, hey, I moved to Colorado. I'm no longer with this person. I'm going through divorce. I'm okay. And obviously most parents, they want to know what's going on and they want to be there to support you. So I just had to bite the bullet. And no matter how difficult it was, just reach out and ask for that support from my family and from my friends and just say, please just be there for me because I need to do this for myself.
And I'm really glad that you did reach out and you did seek help from me and you were able to take my hand and together get you to a situation that now you feel much more self-empowered and you're in that self-partnering situation. And I can see the look on your face and I can see the smile on your face. And it's very easy for me to see that the weight of the world has been lifted off your shoulders.
Your transformation is amazing and a joy to see.
That's how you know that you get better, right?
Absolutely. And I would not have reached there. I would not have reached this place if I hadn't reached out for help. I've never felt that I kind of had to reach out for help. I always thought I'm smart enough to get through things. I'm strong enough to get through things. But this was a battle I couldn't understand, being so close to the issue. I needed someone who understood addiction, who understood narcissism, who understood gaslighting, and who could understand how to talk to me through my bipolar 2 as well. You know, it was a perfect storm for a complete disaster. And if I hadn't got in touch with you, someone who is, you know, qualified and competent to speak to me in a way which is soft enough when I need it, but also, like you've said many times, drill sergeant when I need it as well, and helping me to line up what I actually have to do to make a tangible change. Because it's one thing to ask someone, well, how does that make you feel? But it's another thing to say, well, what are you going to do about it? And that's what you were able to do for me. And that's what I needed at that point, or I would have stagnated to the point that I never would have left.
Well, I'm really thrilled, and I can certainly see it on your face. So what do you want to tell your listeners? I mean, I know that you are a social influencer, which means that you make an impression on many, many young people. And of course, this is going to be broadcast on Transformation Talk Radio, and we have a 5 million listener base. So it's going out to quite a few people. What do you want our listeners to know?
Wow, 5 million people. No pressure then. I want people to know that it's very easy to look at someone's life from the outside and think, they must have it all. They are so lucky. Certainly, I get a lot of direct messages every day in my Instagram, my Twitter, people saying, you inspire me so much. I want to have the perfect life too. And I like to turn around and tell people, I don't have the perfect life. And it's okay not to have the perfect life, because here's the thing, nobody does. And sometimes life does throw you a curveball. Sometimes you make a poor investment in a person, whether it's a spouse or a friend or a business partner, and it's okay to want to change that. It's okay to reach out and to realize that sometimes you do need a little push from somebody else who can help you to get back on the right track and to help you to frame yourself up for something better in the future. It doesn't make you crazy if you want help. It doesn't make you worthless if you're struggling and you don't know how to help yourself. It's good to reach out. You should reach out. You deserve to reach out. People deserve to have someone to speak to who want to listen and who want to help them to live a much healthier life.
We'll be right back. Are you ready to transform and empower your life by changing the way you think, feel, and act? Then it's time to schedule a coaching call appointment with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified empowerment coach and recovery coach. My style of coaching is part cheerleader and part drill sergeant, always in your corner and at the same time giving you the push you need to truly move forward and exactly what you need to take command of your life. If you are ready for the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, I am ready for you. Visit my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says one-on-one coaching. Make an appointment today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, and this, as you know, is my show, Everybody Needs a Little Push. I'm doing an interview with one of my current clients. Her name is Em, and she is talking about how she has begun to transform her life since we started working together last September, and she has made great strides in really changing the way she thinks, the way she feels, and the way she acts. And because she is so excited about this transformation, she has been kind enough to share her very intimate and delicate story with us today.
Well, because you have graced me with the honor of having you on the podcast today, and because we're in the situation we're in, where we are in a situation where our anxiety and our stress level is heightened by the fact that we are faced with COVID-19, we are all in a quarantine situation, we maybe would be faced with emotional stressors that would not normally be a factor. And that is also true for people that want to do more drinking or more drugging. So because of who you are and because of what we've done today on the podcast episode, if it's okay with you, I am going to make myself available to our listeners for a free 30-minute phone consultation, and we'll do a Zoom talk, and this is based on Emzotic's fans, Emzotic, E-M-Z-O-T-I-C, and if you will go to my website, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, and click on the link that says free 30-minute session based on this podcast, I'd be more than happy to give you a start and get you moving in the direction that you've always wanted to go to. And because we have this time, because we're all home and we're all trying to take care of ourselves, then maybe this is the perfect time to get that push you need, as you said, from the Pushy Broad from the Bronx. So if that's okay with you, we'll use Emzotic, and I'll post on Instagram after we air this show.
Then if you want a free 30-minute session, you should go directly to my website.
Perfect. Yes. And people should certainly feel able to reach out. I mean, I can be very shy when asking for help because I don't know if I'm going to be taken seriously, but you did take me seriously and I learned so much. So if that can help anybody else, then please do get in touch.
So now that you're moving in a wonderful direction, can you tell everybody what's there for you on the horizon, what you're working toward?
What we should expect?
Well, I've just released my first ever book, which is really exciting. I've actually got a little copy of it right here for anyone who's watching. It's called Animal Kind, and it's a collection of short true stories, or inspired by true stories, of lessons of love, fear, and friendship from the animals in our lives. I essentially spoke to a whole bunch of people who I know in real life and found out how animals have made a positive impact on their mental health or physical health. And I took some creative leeway and wrote certain chapters dedicated to each of these people and the real animals that inspired good change in their lives and in their mental health. And then I also added a chapter called Bear, which is about the relationship I had with my ferret back in London and how he saw me through some really difficult times. And that is a factual chapter where it's almost as though you've read it from the journal of my book. You know, it's like a look into the one of the most difficult times in my life. So I'm very pleased that that book came out, because there was a time when I didn't think I was going to be able to finish it. I finished this book during the storm that was you trying to help me to leave my relationship and make that step towards a healthier life. And I managed to finish the book regardless. I'm very proud of it. So I've just released that. It's had a global release on Amazon. You can find it on Amazon looking up Animal Kind and my usual name, which is Emma Locke, Locke spelled like a door lock, L-O-C-K. And since then, I've actually been working on a television show as well, which I can't say too much about right now, but that's very exciting. And I'm also working on a potential coloring book for adults. So that's really fun. I mean, I'm very artistic. I like to color, so that's nice. And I'm also working right now on a podcast for my YouTube channel, which is going to be called Work on the Wild Side, where I interview all sorts of animal professionals in the most incredible jobs and having my guests talk about where they managed to attain these sorts of careers. Because when people who are interested in animals want to work with animals, you get told you can be a vet, a pet store keeper, a dog groomer, or a zookeeper. But no one tells you you can work with birds of prey to help keep airports clear of pigeons. And I want to find out all these different amazing jobs and inspire others to find their perfect animal career. So Work on the Wild Side is something I'm very passionate about right now as well. And then in October, which is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, I would like to be working with a company called DAISY, a charitable organization which helps people who are suffering from domestic violence and domestic abuse. And they were very helpful to me as I was going through court. They're a massive source of support. And I'd like to do my bit to thank them for everything that they did for me while I was going through such a terrible time. So I'd also like to do a lot more to help others who've been through domestic abuse.
Where can people find you? How can they follow you?
You can find me on YouTube by looking up my name, which is Mzotic, which is E-M-Z-O-T-I-C. I like to create content all about how to better care for your pets. And I also have a very popular series called The Creature Feature, where I pick an animal and I talk about it at length and share tons of cool facts about them. It's very family friendly, so you can watch it with your kids or you can just watch it alone. Also, I'm available on Twitter, where I share some of my more, thoughtful posts. And it's also where I go when I'm feeling a little bit darker. So I definitely flex my sarcasm a lot more on Twitter. You can find me at MzoticOfficial, all one word. And you can also find me at MzoticOfficial on Instagram, as well as TikTok and Snapchat. I also have a Facebook page, which is MzoticOfficial. And Instagram is probably where people would enjoy me most, aside from YouTube, because I share a lot of my behind the scenes of my day living with these wonderful exotic animals. And I have a lot of fun day to day, and I like to share that with people. Right now, I'm very obsessed with my puppy, who's about to turn one. His name's Kiba. He is a beautiful Eurasia dog. And I'm about to throw him a birthday party on April the 3rd. So certainly this podcast will have aired by then. So come and follow me over on Instagram at MzoticOfficial, and you'll be able to participate in my dog's birthday celebrations if you like.
That's wonderful. And when you say exotic animals, please let our listeners know what you mean by that?
Right now, I have a very small collection of exotic creatures with me. I've got some ferrets, and I have some snakes and some lizards. But there's a huge archive of other animals that I've worked with in the past, and which I'll be working with again very shortly once we're able to leave the house again. So I've worked with skunks, meerkats, armadillos, various birds of prey, crocodilians. And you can find a lot of those creature features over at Emzotic on YouTube.
That's really amazing and really outstanding and exciting. And it's wonderful that you are moving forward in such a productive way with such a positive energy. And I think people can feel that. It's certainly palpable and tangible on air. We're going to put this up on YouTube so that you'll be able to see it. I cannot thank you enough for participating today on Pushy Broad from the Bronx. And certainly, you are a wonderful, beautiful, positive woman that is going to give a lot of young women a lot of reasons to move forward and to stand up for who they are.
Yes, and I hope that those women out there who are listening who can relate in any way, first of all, girl, you got this. Or if you're a guy out there, you've got this as well. Nobody should have to put up with such treatment. And there is better out there. It's a bit scary at first. And sometimes your coach will you know, have you screaming and crying as you dig your nails into the floor to a better life. But when you get there and you realize how much more fresh the air is on the other side and how much healthier you'll be, you'll never look back. You really won't. And certainly at this point, I think I remember telling you that there was a time when I wanted to speak up and I just didn't. I had to hold my tongue for a while, regardless of the fact that my former partner was really dragging my name through the dirt. And I can laugh about it now, but back then it was really hurtful and I felt very angry and I wanted to speak up, but for the wrong reasons. And now I'm able to be at that point where I can look back and this person, you know, they do have my pity and I don't wish them any hate. I wish them health and I hope that they find love just far, far away from me. And I certainly think that that's a good way to go forward because anger is a bit like a cancer that only hurts you. You have to let go of it. And when you do let go of it and you focus on your own journey, wonderful things happen. And yes, you can look back and think, this person's really nasty at times, but at the end of the day, no one is perfect. And I do believe that everyone has the ability to change. And I certainly wish that for this person. I do not wish for anyone to contact them and give them a hard time, nothing like that. I think everyone should go forward and be allowed to live and to try and turn over a new leaf. And certainly, I hope that anybody out there who is struggling with addiction will choose to get themselves some help because you deserve it. And the people around you deserve it too. So I certainly do wish everyone who's listening very, very boundless happiness and health and all kinds of emotional and spiritual prosperity. And just know that you deserve to get that help.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. Stories like these take great courage. And in sharing them, you not only continue to work on self-development, but you set an example for others to follow in the same path. I'm extremely pleased that this has been truly a path of success in moving you forward. Please continue to stay safe and healthy, especially as we are in the midst of COVID-19. I am looking forward to a continuous stream of those wonderful videos that you make that are charming, uplifting, and also teach me something about animals and their relationships with human beings and with themselves. Thank you again for being brave and honest with my listeners and with yours. And I will speak with you soon as we are continuously working on your journey of self-development and self-empowerment.
Yes, we are. Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you. Take care, Em. Bye-bye.
This is Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, saying thanks for listening. And remember, everybody needs a little push.
From the pushy broad from the Bronx, New York.
The Pushy Broad from the Bronx would like to thank her production team, songwriter, composer, musician, and soundman, Sam Goche, voice artist and announcer, Taylor Goche. Oh, that's me. And thanks to collaborative writer and assistant production manager, Richard Torres. virtual assistant and social media guru, Kimberly Studdard. Special thanks to Laura Kravitz, production manager, and Susan Herman, collaborative writer. And a very special thanks to Love Love Studios in Brooklyn,
Brooklyn,
for recording and mixing our music.
Here is disclaimer information that we are required to produce.
Professional coaches provide an ongoing partnership designed to help clients produce fulfilling results in their personal and professional lives. Coaches help people improve their performances and enhance the quality of their lives. Coaching services received from certified life coach Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, are not offered as a substitute for professional mental health care or medical care, and are not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any mental health or medical conditions. The Pushy Broad from the Bronx is not acting as a mental health counselor or a medical professional. All comments and ideas offered by Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx, are solely for the purpose of aiding her audience in achieving their goals, and hopefully keep you smiling in the process.